out. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Back in against Mesa, who is working from the windup. The 0-1 pitch. Swings, and there it is! A base hit in the right center. He's done it. 3,000 for Robin.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He's ready. And delivers. Morgan, a smash up the middle. Base hit to center. Here comes Gomez. Around third. A throw, and the Brewers win. The Brewers are moving on.
I still, and this is not sour grapes by any means, still think I should have gone in as a player. Thank you. Thank you very
much. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her
At the end of the day, she's every single morning, cool all we want to do here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is entertain. Maybe inform a little bit, not a dramatic amount of information, but we want to entertain everybody who is tuning in. And if there is an example of somebody in Milwaukee and in sports who was exceptional at that, it was, of course, Bob Uecker, who passed away yesterday at the age of 90. Yesterday was a tough day. Yesterday was a beautiful day. Not weather, because, well, it's Wisconsin in January, but it was a beautiful day because you saw and heard all of these moments and all of these memories and all of the ways that Bob Uecker's career and Bob Uecker's connection to Milwaukee impacted listeners and fans across this great state and beyond. And so this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we want to take some time to also honor one of the greatest to ever do it, Bob Uecker. Chew, I know you were lucky enough to interact with Bob Uecker, to meet Bob Uecker. What do you remember from the time your paths crossed?
Just a super nice guy. First time I met him, I was at Robin Young's golf outing and just kind of hanging out. I think I was putting or something like that, getting ready for the round, and he came over to and gave me about 20 minutes, just sat there and talked to him. Just a normal guy. Just an absolutely normal guy. Went out of his day just to talk to me for 20 minutes. And that was my takeaway. Just real. He was just real. And yes, it's a sad day. But God, thank you for the joy. And I didn't know Bob Uecker when I first came to Green Bay. I knew him, Gabe, through wrestling. In the Johnny Carson show, because yep. I used to love Johnny Carson, and he was always so good on that show. I remember, and I'm sure you remember too, Gabe, when Andre the Giant shook him.
Oh yeah,
like stuck his hand head. Around his throat.
It was just he was just so
get your
entertaining.
Foot off my shoulder.
You know, he's one of those guys, a lot like Brett. You know, Brett back in the day, guys just love being around Brett because he could hold court, and you love to hear the stories. Well, times that by 10 when you came to Bob Uecker. Just a guy who had an infinite amount of stories who you could just sit there for hours and just listen to him. I'm just thankful that I got those 20 minutes to be able to talk to him because, God, great guy. Can't say enough about him.
Yeah, Gabe, as a young man growing up in Wisconsin, obviously strong connection to baseball. Your earliest memories of Bob Uecker are what?
Oh, yeah, of listening to, I mean, there were bad Brewers teams, but Brewers games on the radio. And you listen to those games all the time because of how good Bob was still at keeping you locked into the game, even if it was, you know, 7-1 in the seventh inning or whatever. And Yeah, I mean, the connections he made, Chu, I mean, I think that's, you mentioned Johnny. I mean, he was revered by Johnny Carson. He had great friendships with guys like Norm MacDonald. And yesterday when we were doing the specialty show, we had a golfing buddy of his call in. You know, he was able to connect with people, you know, all over the place because of his storytelling, the way he could make you feel, you know, even just by listening, not even interacting the way that Chu got to interact with him, or, you know, so many other people did get to interact him who knew him personally, but his storytelling, just powerful. It's baseball has, you have a connection to those announcers because it's every day and during the summer, especially if you're a kid who loves baseball, because, well, you're off of school and you got nothing else to do, and you look forward to listening to those games, and you start developing that connection. That was the number of texts, just texting back and forth with my buddies, you know, guys I went to high school with, guys I went to college with. A lot of people have taken it really hard, probably harder than they even realized, even though everybody thought that this moment could potentially come. And some of the clips that were making their rounds on social media, whether it was the way Jeff Levering signed off the Brewers radio network to end the season last year, or the way that Uke signed off after game three, they you hear it a little bit differently now. The way that Yelich reacted in the clubhouse after that loss, where you thought maybe something was coming and their hearts were aching, not just because they lost the game, but because they thought that maybe their friend wasn't going to be there when spring training came around. And even though we had those warnings yesterday, still stung, still just really hurt because of the connections that we had as a fan base of sports here in the state of Wisconsin with Uke.
So Bob Uecker is unique for a number of reasons, guys. One, it was the self-deprecating humor, probably one of the first to really weave that into his legacy, the narrative surrounding him. You know, there were so many people in sports, and you all have met them over the years, who carry themselves with an ego, with a bravado. They need to be the center of the room. They need to have all eyes on them. And Bob Uecker got the eyes and was the center of attention because of his magnetic personality and because he was willing to make jokes at his own expense. He didn't need to inflate his numbers or act like he was better than he was, and that was a big reason why people connected with him, why he was so lovable. He was also mischievous, right? I will never forget, guys, every time I saw Bob Uecker in the dugout at what was then Miller Park when I was covering the team with Fox 6, he would get a little twinkle in his eye, a little gleam in his eye. And you knew that, like, the conversation was going to be wonderful and lovely, but there was going to be some mischief in there. And that was what was so exciting and enjoyable about having conversations with him. He was incredibly supportive. He was incredibly kind. But he was the de facto representative of the Milwaukee Brewers. And that's taking nothing away, guys, from the athletes who played on the field. It is taking nothing away from the players who wore the uniform. But year in and year out, those players changed. There was turnover in Milwaukee. And even as we had superstars over the years, whether you want to talk about Robin Yount and Paul Molitor or Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder, and the list goes on and on to the current guys, and you've mentioned Christian Yelich, of course, Bob Uecker was the constant. Bob Uecker was the thread. Bob Uecker was the voice we heard at the beginning of spring training, ushering us into the season of warmth and summer and baseball. And for me, it was always so enjoyable to click the radio on, bump over to listen to a Brewers spring training. I couldn't care less who they were playing, couldn't care less what the record was, but to just hear Bob Uecker's voice was a touchstone every single year.
Chu, one of the really cool things, and Jen mentions the touchstone, but like, and in his heart, he was still a ball player, and I think that's why he was able to connect with every one of those teams that passed through. Obviously, had a great relationship with Robin and a great relationship with Christian Yelich at the end. Did you know, Chu, in 2018, when the Brewers were in the postseason, they voted Uke a full playoff share?
Did they really?
They voted him a full playoff share. So he got $122,000 as part of, because the team thought he was that important. He's the broadcaster, but he was that important to everybody that they voted him a full playoff share.
I don't think there's, and I'm trying to think of someone, I don't think there's anyone like him. I mean, you put him up with Vin Scully and Jack Buck, who were both kind of serious guys, but I'm talking through all of sports. There was no one really like him, you know?
And the connection.
Just, you know what I love about it? You know what I love about people like him? They don't have to be funny. They're just funny.
Yeah.
They don't try to be funny. You know the guys that try to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, eh, and sometimes they hit one out of every five or whatever. He didn't try to be funny. He's just funny. He's funny. And that's why he was so entertaining. I can't think of anyone like him in any sport.
And that's the crazy thing, Chu, is that he was ours. Like, he was from Milwaukee. He got to play for the Braves, and for the last 54 years was the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. And you know how much we take pride in our own in the state of Wisconsin. And the fact that Bob was ours, and he had opportunities to leave. There were stories that were told here on 94.5 ESPN yesterday about Uke, and I was unaware of these until I heard them yesterday. George Steinbrenner made multiple ovations trying to get Uke to come be the voice of the New York Yankees. And Uke turned him down, obviously, every single time because he was a Wisconsin guy and the Brewers were his hometown, and he loved it here, and he just had the connection with everybody because he was one of us.
Yesterday, Bob Costas joined some of our broadcasts. Let's take a listen to Bob Costas talking about Bob Uecker.
But he was one of their own, one of your own. You know this, Dom. He's a Milwaukee guy. He's born and raised in Wisconsin. Baseball was his life, but eventually Milwaukee baseball. That's where he started with the Braves in the career that he made so much fun of as a player. But then he lands with the Brewers for more than half a century.
Lots of people weighing in yesterday, Chu. Go ahead.
He's like a cross between Walter Cronkite and Ric Flair.
That's the nicest thing anyone said on these airwaves.
No, he
in
is.
The last 24 hours.
And I've had Gabe, and I know you met, but I met Ric Flair in his heyday.
Mm-hmm.
And people, even players today, still pay him homage.
Oh,
that's how Uke was. It's like, hey, we're going to, Cleveland. I'm sure there were Cleveland Indians that wanted to go up and meet him everywhere he went, He was kind of that guy.
Well, that was this year. I mean, Paul Skeens, requested to meet Bob Uecker when the Pirates were in town. Skeens wanted to meet Uke.
Yes.
Aaron Judge wanted to as well.
I believe there's a video of Adam Wainwright sitting in the booth with him at one point or another throughout his career. And again, wanted to meet Uecker. And Uecker invited him up to the booth. So a lot of guys in the league have those stories as well. But he was so much, guys, the face of Milwaukee baseball. And again, I say that with reverence. I'm not trying to take anything away from any of the players or any of the managers or any of the executives who have rolled through Milwaukee over the last 60 years. But Bob Uecker was the constant. And for that reason, people would come, like you said, from other teams, from other cities, and they wanted to see Bob. And there was a attraction of going up and sitting in the Uecker seats, right, where they have that statue now at AmFam Field, or sitting underneath the booth and craning your neck around to see Bob Uecker calling the games. Like, he transcended baseball. He transcended Milwaukee. And yesterday was certainly a celebration of all of the things that he has done. Last night on the Marquette Basketball Hour, we talked about how very unknown, it was only because some clippings started circulating yesterday, he called Marquette basketball games in the 1973-1974 season. Who even remembered that? So yesterday was a wonderful day of just sort of, yes, there was sadness, and there will be sadness, guys. Prepare yourself for this baseball season, spring training just about a month away. Prepare yourself for how difficult it is going to be to tune in to the radio broadcasts and not hear Uke's voice. I imagine opening day at AmFam Field this year is going to be a tough one. I imagine with all of the excitement, with all of the anticipation, all of the hope springs eternal that surrounds every single baseball season, there will be a lot of bittersweet feelings as Bob Uecker is not there in the booth calling Brewers games. Get up, get out of here and gone. Before we end this segment, we want to take a listen to Gene Miller, who did memorialize Bob Uecker yesterday on AM 620.
Bob Uecker was Wisconsin's soundtrack of summer since 1971.
Get up! Get out of here! It is gone!
Giving fans a bird's-eye view of the game and Brewers milestones from his front row seat at the park.
He's done it! 3,000 for Robin!
Swing and a base hit!
For Monitor.
Robert George Uecker was born in Milwaukee in 1934, a local kid who made it to the bigs with the hometown Braves before finding his legs as an actor and entertainer.
Would you welcome Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker?
Making some 100 Tonight Show appearances, starring in scads of spots for the hometown brew.
These fans know I drink light because it's less filling and it tastes great. Good seats, huh?
We're in the wrong shape, buddy. Come on.
Uecker made WrestleMania appearances, starred in his own TV series, one that ran six seasons.
Who are you? Belvedere. Lynn Belvedere.
Then there was the movie Major League.
On into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside.
And his turn as announcer, Harry Doyle.
Ball four. All eight.
His real-life career in the booth began a year after the Brewers came to Milwaukee from Seattle, honing his signature call.
If somebody really hits a ball, some guy up there really juices one, you'll see the guys on the bench get up and get to the steps or wherever and look that way. And, I mean, every guy in the dugout is hollering, get up, get out of here, get out of here, you know. That's where it came from.
Uecker earning a place in the broadcaster's wing at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, awarded in 2003.
It's been a great run, but number one has always been baseball for me. No matter what else I ever did, baseball was the only way I wanted to go.
Gene Miller, WTMJ News.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Get us your Bob Uecker reflections, reactions all morning long here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Josh is shaking his head back there behind the glass because Chewy just cleared his throat on the air.
Puts his headset on and ah-ah!
Every time.
You're on.
It's never so. It's never gonna not make me laugh. I love it every time.
Hey, that's what happens when you're old, okay?
Yeah, I get it, man.
You just make noises.
You can't control things. Well, you just can't control things.
I hope we're only referring to you clearing your throat at this point.
He's going to be wearing a diaper soon.
No. Let's get out to Jason.
I woke myself up. You ever wake yourself up snoring? I did that last night.
Wow,
that
I wish my husband would wake himself up snoring. And I wouldn't have to do it. I sleep so well from 9:30 until about 1:30, and then it's all downhill from there. Jason Wilde, good morning. Welcome to the circus. How are you doing today?
I think that's on Josh.
Whoa.
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
That's shots fired. Yeah,
It is.
I mean,
I'm sure Josh would say it's on him.
I'm sure he wouldn't.
No.
So obviously, Tausch and I think the secret sauce to our show is that we're rarely in the same place, because when we are, our show kind of sucks. So we're always in two different locations, and so instead of you're up, it's are you ready? And then I can say, no, I need to clear my throat. Hold on a second. And then that doesn't happen on the air. So this is all Josh's fault. And I know Josh is going to be mad at me now, and he's probably not going to be my friend anymore. But I am here to defend Chewy on this, because we have had producers, none to be named here, that will just give you the, all right, you're up, or mics are on, or whatever it might be. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I'm in the middle of coughing or something. So I'm defending my boy Chew, which doesn't happen very often, but it's happening.
Yeah.
Jason, to be clear, every time I warn him and tell him he's up, he still then wrestles with his mic, coughs into it. So I've given up. It doesn't matter.
So you're a quitter. You're a quitter. Uh-huh.
Which bothers you more, Joshy? The coughing or the clearing of the throat or the jostling of the microphone?
The jostling of the mic to drink the water seven times in one interview. Just hold it for a second, all right?
Out of a 3-gallon jug on top of it.
Do we need 4 sips of water? It's been 4 minutes.
Would you rather have me cough?
I did not expect that level of vitriol, if I'm being honest.
I mean, it's a Friday.
Chewie's finally in a good mood.
I know. It only took 5 days. Jason, you got any Uke thoughts?
Oh,
any
man.
Uke stories?
Yes, I do. look, I don't. What hasn't been said by now, right? I mean, look, it was a very, you know, I think we all kind of knew that there was something amiss, right? I think my struggle was that, you know, without having an idea that this was, without knowing exactly what was going on, it still came as a really big surprise to people. At least to me. I mean, I certainly wasn't expecting it to shift our entire show yesterday. And then to learn that he's been battling this since early 2023, you know, kind of put in perspective how private, someone who is such a public figure kept his battle private. And, you know, I don't know how Jeff Levering and Lane Grindle and all the folks that probably knew about it were able to not, you know, say anything. But I think what struck me was it put all these other moments in perspective for me, because I don't listen to all 162 games. I used to when I was a kid. I mean, I was, and that's why it's such a, for me, was upsetting, is because, as for many people that grew up in Milwaukee, he was the soundtrack of our summer, as Gene Miller says in his obituary that we played yesterday. But like, I thought back to Yelich, and I know Joshy, because he's such a great producer, sent us the audio of Yelich talking after their loss to the Mets and him getting so emotional about Uecker. And you thought, okay, now this makes sense yesterday, right? The emotion that was in Jeff Levering's voice. Like, you know, Chewy, I've covered how many Packers seasons now where it ends in a loss? And, you know, if you don't win the Super Bowl, yeah. If you make the playoffs, your season is ending in a loss. And most of the time they've made it. And I don't, there have been very few times where there have been guys that were as emotional as those guys sounded about last year's loss. So you knew there was something amiss, but I just found myself, and I don't know if you guys did this, but I watched so many videos last night of him, whether it was on Carson or at WrestleMania or in Major League, and Major League 2, where he actually, I mean, Major League 2, not a great film, not as bad as Major League 3, but he's phenomenal still. So I found it comforting to hear a bunch of his old calls and all those kinds of things. Just what a great gift that you have if you're trying to deal with grief, to have all of those recordings of him kind of help you through it.
Yeah, that's the incredible part, is how many, like, you mentioned WrestleMania and Johnny Carson. He had a sitcom, he was in movies, and he was a baseball announcer. Like, the number of different places and people, and just the reach of Bob Uecker is the most just astounding thing, I think, as you take a step back and look back at everything he was able to accomplish in his 90 years.
Well, and Jason, I'm scrolling through Instagram over here, and Adam Sandler has a post.
Mm-hmm.
Thanking Bob Uecker. Mm-hmm. Says, felt like all of our dad's best friend, love to his family, and thanks for everything, Bob.
Yeah, I was struggling to think of someone who had such a varied life experience. Like, you know, to think, I mean, who would have watched Mr. Belvedere was on the air for 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, and largely because, I mean, what a gift he had for comedic timing and delivery. I mean, I can't imagine that there are many people that you can look at. I mean, there are obviously great comedians. I get that. But all the things that he did throughout his life, I mean, and that's, you know, that was the other thing I found myself thinking about. I mean, he was still doing games. I know he was dealing with cancer, but he was still doing games last year at age 90. And I thought, I'll take that. What a life well lived. And if we are all, you know, I'm sure he would say this, if we're all as lucky as he was, then we'll all have been incredibly blessed.
Jason, with the season over, and I'm not sure when this decision has to be made, but do you believe they will give Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt the fifth-year option?
I do now. They have to decide by May 1st. And yesterday, you know, Goody did not say we are giving them the fifth-year option. But the way he raved about both of them, it's hard to imagine them not giving them the fifth-year option. Now, he did say about Quay Walker, we would like to have him here for a number of years, which felt a little bit like a hint of we're going to avoid the fifth-year option and we're going to pay him even more and sign him to an extension. So, you know, the option numbers are not ginormous. I think linebacker last year was $14 million. I think defensive tackle was $11 million, or maybe I'm transposing those. But, you know, those are both very affordable. Obviously, they did not give Eric Stokes the fifth-year option last year when they had to do it or had to decide whether to do it. So I would anticipate both of them getting it. I think what's important here, and we spent a lot, I mean, the press conference was 35 minutes yesterday, and most of it was for a team that went 11-6 and punched out in the first round of the playoffs. It was exceedingly positive. And which led me to asking the final question, which was basically, hey, you guys, we've talked about a lot of really good things. You got a lot of good players, but you did finish 11-6. You know, what was your biggest disappointment and what needs to be done moving forward? And I think the vibe that they have, while they lost three in a row to end the season, especially on defense, is unbridled excitement, right? I mean, they are really excited about how good they were in the first year of Halfley's defense and how good they could be. And as Rob Domofsky broke last night, they fired Jason Rebrovich, their defensive line coach. So clearly they believe, and Goody kind of said this without saying anything about the coaching, that they think they still have good players up front that can get to the quarterback, despite evidence to the contrary for most of the season. So I think they really think their defense has a chance to be an elite, elite unit. And so they're excited about that. They don't seem downtrodden about whatever downturn, at least statistically, Jordan Love had. They're obviously excited about Josh Jacobs. We kind of danced around the wide receiver question. But overall, I mean, they go into the offseason, despite three straight losses, feeling really good about what they're building.
So, Jason, quickly, Josh, you looked it up via Over the Cap. Wyatt would be $13 million. Walker would be $16 million. Those are projections, and those numbers can certainly change. But based on his answer to that, and based on the way he talked about the wide receiver room, all these, you know, all these fantasy bookings and fantasy trades that everybody like me has been putting through our minds, oh, what if we get Devontae? What if we get Max Crosby? Would you expect them to be that active going after a big-time player like that to improve the wide receiver room or improve the defensive line?
I do think they're going to go after someone that is big name. Like, they have the financial wherewithal to do it. They can do it without it, you know, preventing them from, because Goody brought this up, preventing them from re-signing or extending certain players that they want to keep that are their own. Because remember, the 2022 class is going into the final year of their rookie deals. And I'm not saying all these guys will get or even deserve extensions, but we just talked about Walker and Wyatt, Christian Watson, right? Romeo Dobbs, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker. Like, they've got some decisions to make on a lot of guys on rookie contracts. And that's going to be part of the Rubik's Cube that they have to figure out. So, yeah, I'm excited from what I've been reading on the internet. It looks like Devontae Adams, T. Higgins, Miles Garrett, mm-hmm. and Max Crosby.
Yeah. And a Super Bowl.
And Bonds and Griffey. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Jason, we appreciate you bringing it back to baseball to end this conversation. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every day here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We have Craig Karmazin coming up. Certainly, Craig will have stories about Bob Uecker as well. Keep getting us your reaction. We will get to those as the show rolls on this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a longstanding commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
to get to with Craig Karmazin this morning, including revisiting our conversation from last week. But before we get to that, Craig, good morning.
Good morning.
Just wanted to give you the opportunity to reflect on the life of Bob Uecker, almost said Bob Costas there, the life of Bob Uecker, as so many have over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Bob Uecker was always present, right? Because I wasn't from Wisconsin, but he was in the beer commercials. He was in Mr. Belvedere. He was part of Saturday afternoon baseball, which was a thing. And even, you know, when I was really young, like with Al Michaels doing baseball on ABC. So, you know, then the movie Major League. And so, like, Bob Uecker was like a guy you'd be a fan of if you weren't from Wisconsin, because, like, you knew him. But, like, the first radio station we bought in the company was WBEV in Beaver Dam. And I don't think I totally realized that Bob Uecker was really doing every game and was doing the play-by-play and wasn't just like a former player throwing in some jokes as like the color commentator. And for me, starting the company back in 1997 in Beaver Dam, you know, when you're starting of something, you know, you're working nights and all that. I mean, he was the soundtrack for me. And you're talking about the worst possible teams, right? The biggest excitement around those teams were, how long would it take till they moved to the National League from the American League? And then, like, how long would it take until they moved into their new building? But Bob Uecker made baseball enjoyable, sitting through those 100-loss seasons, and really became the background, the soundtrack for half of my year in Wisconsin. And you just develop that relationship that happens in radio in a way that I don't know that any medium is that intimate. And his storytelling, his actual skills at play-by-play and all of that just blow you away. And the fact that he was still doing it 25 years later is incredible. So an incredible legacy, and everybody is said all of the things. And, you know, I didn't have a personal relationship with him. And, you know, by, you know, kind of in, by my decision and very intentionally, just had such a deep appreciation for everything he did.
Craig, I also want to give you the opportunity to say I was right and you were wrong when it came to the playoffs last week.
Oh, my God. Did you know that Elgton Jenkins and Romeo Doubs weren't going to play?
Oh, here we go. We don't use excuses. Did you know that Slay was going to be out of the game, their number one corner, and lose and one of their best linebackers in the game? Did you know that?
And that the Eagles were going to get the opening kickoff in both halves? I didn't know that.
This is very Jerry Maguire at this point. The human head weighs 8 pounds, guys. I just want you to know.
I mean, so here's the deal, Craig. I mean, we went through the grades this week.
A Jen tweet. where it said like, hey, with this happening, like this is still like a one score game. Like, I mean, we couldn't have predicted the game going the way it went. And by the way, the Eagles, the Packers didn't show up and impress me in any way. I'm not arguing the Packers did anything, but what I thought about the Eagles passing attack and why I thought they were susceptible to me was proven out. It was just the Packers just didn't have enough there to even be competitive.
All right, so we did grades this week, Craig. I don't know if you heard. We gave the offense on a 4.0 scale a 3.2, and we gave the defense a 2.4. Would you agree with those numbers?
For the game or the year?
Year.
Overall, for the year.
For the year? Oh, man. Y'all watch it a lot closer than me, but I would have thought the defense would be, I don't know, I would have thought the defense and the offense would be pretty equal at this point. When I think about, yeah, when I think about the solid games that they played, I feel like the defense was as much the reason they won games as the offense this year. I guess so, I don't see the offense as being ahead of the defense.
We have yet to grade the coaches. I think the coaches are going to be getting some good grades on the defense. Because, I mean, I don't think you can argue. I mean, the defensive line was a massive disappointment, and the cornerbacks underperformed. And when that you have those two position groups kind of dragging everybody else down, it's tough to get that GPA up.
But I guess I'm thinking about the games that they won this year. To me, the defense stands out more than the offense.
But the games that they lost against the good teams, outside of what they did against the Eagles this last week, the defense didn't really show up in those games.
Yeah, and I think, Gabe, you made the point. In all of the games they lost, there were those meaningful moments where the defense had a chance to make a stop and never seemed to make the big stop. But I don't know. I mean, it seemed to me the games they lost, like the first Vikings game, I get it, but like the defense wasn't great early, but I feel like the offense is what was putting them in the holes in these games, like, you know, with all the interceptions.
Well, let me give you a stat. Let me give you a stat, Craig, that absolutely blew my mind, okay? Lucas Van Ness recorded a pass rush win rate of 0% on true pass sets this season. 0%. That's like getting 100 targets and not catching one ball. How would you grade that?
Wait, do we know that
Gabe,
he was trying?
If I had...
Maybe he wasn't trying to win. Did you ever think about that?
That's true.
A hell of a strategy
okay.
there, Craig.
All right, that's a great follow-up. Let me follow up to your follow-up.
Gabe,
why would you try not to win?
Maybe he's like just trying to engage the blocker so that the blocker can't push him downfield. Couldn't that be the strategy?
On a pass rush?
Gabe, I don't know. I mean, zero just seems pretty extreme. I mean, wouldn't he even like almost once get it if you weren't trying?
Look, it seems like the Eric Stokes thing all over again, where he's gone over 1,000 snaps without a pass breakup or an interception. You'd think one would accidentally hit him in the back of the helmet, but here we are.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is, I'm not saying if you go player by player, I'm grading that out. I'm saying like when it came to winning and losing and making a difference in these games and winning games with a backup quarterback and doing all those things, it's hard for me to say the offense outperformed the defense this year. And maybe it's because I had higher expectations of the offense. But to me, if I was just thinking about it, I would say the Packers defense had a better year this year than the Packers offense.
Even though there was that stretch of like five games where they scored 30 points, 30 plus points.
Yeah. And Jacobs had a great year, right? And Jordan Love didn't throw a pick. I get it, for half the season. But just thinking about the year big picture, I feel like the defense had an overall better season.
Look
at all the takeaways.
I think you're underselling the offensive line. Yeah, I think
he's grading on a curve comparing it to last year and the year before before.
I think,
by the way, there is a huge curve, Jen. Like, I'm thinking about Tommy DeVito last, like what he did in 2023 against this defense. I'm thinking about, you know, what Young, what Mayfield, what like, I mean, like it felt like 4 weeks in a row, right? Guys had like perfect passer ratings. And this defense got so much better so quickly.
Maybe this is a flaw of the way that I set this up, Craig, because we just did every position and everything was weighted equally, because there was no more disappointing unit offense, defense, special teams. To me, there's no more disappointing and underperforming unit than the Packers' defensive line. And that probably right, great, and that drags down the overall score.
I get what you're saying unit by unit, but I'm saying game by game when it came to wins and losses. Like, to me, the defense didn't lose them as many games as the offense did. And the defense won them more games than the offense did, which I never would have expected coming into this year. And as I said, I feel like you've got to give credit for the takeaways, which are massive in the whole equation of winning and losing in the NFL.
We did.
Yeah, and they were. But Gabe, again, compiled that list for us of the times that the defense just didn't show up that they needed to, that would have resulted in a win or that would have, you know, get the ball back sort of situation. So, again, we can't ignore those situations either. I want to move on before we let you go, because the other thing that Brian Gutekunst said that I think people were very interested in was his position on the wide receiver one. And he sort of discredited it. He sort of discounted it, saying that he thinks they have a bunch of them. He thinks they have a bunch of number one wide receivers. Where do you stand on the wide receiver one argument?
I'm rarely on the Brian Gutekunst side, but I think if you were going to get a wide receiver one, it would have been for Jordan Love's year one or two. By year three, four, I think once you're paying the quarterback, I don't think it makes sense to go out and pay the kind of money you'd need to for wide receiver one. So I don't think they have wide receiver one, but if Jordan Love is who he should be, they'll be fine without a wide receiver one, especially with good tight ends.
I'm pushing back on that, Craig. Look at all the good teams. They have a go-to guy. They have somebody who has developed into that absolute stud. Hey, it's third and six. Where are we going with the football? If you want to be a good team, if you want to be a great team, you have to have
the Bills that guy. Didn't the Bills and Chiefs get rid of their wide receiver one once their quarterbacks have grown up?
When you say that with the Chiefs, it's like saying Tom Brady didn't have a wide receiver one. He had a Hall of Fame tight end in Rob Gronkowski. Travis Kelce might be the greatest tight end of all time, and he still resides in Kansas City. So Mahomes still has his guy. He has his go-to guy. When bleep hits the fan, he can always count on Travis Kelce.
Yeah, he has a go-to guy, but if you're talking wide receiver one, I don't think you look back and the great teams have had wide receiver one. I think they've had the great quarterbacks, and that's why it's going to be about will Jordan Love, you know, and we saw CJ Stroud in his second year take a step back, even though we won a playoff game. So I think
It's not his second year.
I've heard you say that, and I agree that you can't grade as a true second year, but it is the first year that opposing defenses had film on him, and you can't say that, you know, in this day and age, that's not beneficial for defensive coordinators to have a full year of film on a quarterback. So that it is going to be an adjustment in year two versus year one.
And just so you know, this year, somebody crunched the numbers with all of the wide receiver ones ranked 1 through 20 in the league, and only 30% of those teams that had a de facto wide receiver one made the playoffs. It is just a one-year sample size, but that information and data is out there, which sort of negates the idea that a wide receiver one, at least right now, is the automatic, you know, go to the playoffs card. Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Warble, warble. Lost him there a little bit at the end.
Our weekly visit with Craig Carmerson brought to you by Landworks, the locally owned landscape company that can elevate the look of your home or business. See their amazing work at landworkswisconsin.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus in the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The biggest Bucks fans deserve big Bucks prizes. Now it's time to show us your Bucks. If you already have a Bucks tattoo or a design in mind, your time to shine is now. Send us a picture of your Bucks ink at ESPN Milwaukee on social media using the hashtag BucksTattoos by this Monday, January 20th, and you could win two lower-level tickets to see the Bucks take on Denver. And while you send in your Bucks ink to ESPN Milwaukee on social media, don't forget to vote for your favorite Bucks to head to the Bay for the 2025 All-Star Game. Vote now, Bucks.com/All-Star.
taking your reaction all morning long to the passing of Bob Uecker yesterday at the age of 90. Let's hear from Bob Costas, who weighed in on Bob Uecker's life.
Baseball was his life. He wasn't kidding when he said, for all the other things he did, Mr. Belvedere, the Major League films, the Miller Lite commercials, the appearances with Johnny Carson, the opportunities to go to bigger markets, for all the other things he did, number one with him was baseball and Milwaukee baseball. And even as he got older and his health was failing, when he got off that elevator and walked into that booth, there was a bit of a bounce in his step. The game sustained him and defined him, and he was true to it to the very end.
Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. Justin says, what's crazy is some of my first memories are driving around the farm with my grandpa while Uecker narrated the day. Never thought someone I never met could hurt this bad. R.I.P. Bob. Meanwhile, Chef Ed said you couldn't find a better spokesperson for Milwaukee or for baseball. Dumpy reminds us, though, that it would have been nice to see the Brewers win a World Series when Bob Uecker was on the call. He said the team better make up for last year by winning it all this year for Bob. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on. Second hour of the show coming your way right after this.